or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, September the 4th, 2011. Carla Butard is the speaker of this service teaching on Freedom from the Curse of the Bastard.
Come on, Carla. Carla Butard, Jasper, Texas.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this place. We thank you for Lake Hamilton. We thank you for your word and what it has meant to all of our lives and what it will yet mean to all of our lives. We thank you that you're never done, Lord. There's always more, and we look forward to it. I bind every spirit right now that would hinder this meeting. I bind every blocking spirit, every hindering spirit, every antichrist spirit, every religious spirit, every spirit of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. We send out warring angels right now to scramble the plans that the enemy has against this place and against anybody here and against your word going forth in Jesus' name. Lord, release now a spirit of understanding and revelation knowledge, Lord, that we can hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about a serious spirit. I believe it is the most damaging spirit to the body of Christ. I'm not going to tell you what that spirit is just yet. I'm going to read a list of manifestations, because sometimes when you say the name of the spirit, people turn it off because, oh, well, that's not me. So here they go. You feel like nobody loves you, not even God. You feel inferior. Everybody else is better than you. You feel unworthy even to be loved, like nobody wants you, that your life doesn't matter, like you're no good to anyone. You have no identity, may as well be invisible. Your feelings are hurt easily. You have relationship problems. You feel all alone in a room full of people. You feel like you're on the outside looking in. You don't belong. You don't fit. You're not good to yourself. And you have a hard time allowing other people to be good to you. Can't receive goodness. Can't receive kindness. Can't receive a gift or good deeds from others. You feel like an imposition on everybody, everywhere you go. You may find yourself always apologizing, even when you haven't done anything. You're insecure, possessive, jealous, needy, clingy, sad, oppressed, depressed. Sometimes you even wish you were dead, or like you were never born, wishing you had never been born. Everybody would be better off if I had just never been born. You may have had thoughts of suicide or murder. Sometimes you push people that supposedly love you just to see how far you can go, and they still love you. You're a people pleaser, afraid of doing something wrong, feeling guilty or shameful. You're striving for approval. You become a man pleaser. You need a lot of attention. You're performance oriented, like maybe if you're just good enough, you would be deserving of love. You don't take care of yourself very well. You let yourself go. You don't care how you look. You don't care what you wear. You don't care if you're clean or dirty. You dress way out, dye your hair green, tattoo yourself all up or pierce yourself all up or dress in all black, and that is your way of keeping people at a distance. You have bondages, addictions. That's to anesthetize the pain that you feel. You're into self-gratification or escapism. You have delusions of grandeur, deception, fantasy. You seek out love and acceptance through sex or drugs. You have big dreams that seem unable to achieve. You're after that elusive butterfly of happiness. All you want is to be happy. That's all. I mean, what does it take? Just want to be happy. That's all. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Put up with destructive relationships. You have unreasonable fears, phobias, fear of dying, or fear of being murdered. You have nightmares. You're angry. You have a temper, sometimes even rage. You're rebellious against authority. You're lawless, disrespectful. You have sicknesses. Maybe they're real, maybe they're imagined. Hypochondria, always having pains needing to tell somebody about them. You're tardy, never on time, can never get anywhere on time. Can't pay your bills on time. Or you have poverty. You live from crisis to crisis. Even thrive on it. You don't take care of what you have. You get something brand new and in 6 months it looks like it needs to go to the dump. Maybe you are targeted by bullies. People have picked you out to criticize or make fun of. You have mental problems or emotional problems. You have arrested development. You're immature. Maybe you have learning disabilities or you're always confused. Perhaps even have seizures or stuttering, speech problems. You church hop. You go from one church to another. You have a vagabond spirit. You're moving around all the time, unsettled, irresponsible. Live a disreputable life. Perhaps you've joined cults or gangs to fit in, looking for a family, somewhere to belong, somewhere that you're accepted with others like you. Not really interested in spiritual things. Or if you are, you can't seem to achieve them. You have a problem with the Holy Ghost. You have a problem with spiritual things. You resist the Holy Ghost. Maybe you have a hard time reading the Bible or understanding the Word of God. This is a very destructive spirit. It's a curse that touches, I think, almost every single body. It's the curse of the bastard. And we're going to look at how that comes into our life. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. This is actually the word bastard is not used in the Bible very many times. Only a few. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, it says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." That's a long time. If we look at a generation being approximately 40 years, that's 400 years. 400 years that a curse is upon people. The word bastard in the Strong's Concordance, it means to, and you know, when you're studying something and you look these words up, it will begin to give you a list of manifestations that you will see on people. It means to alienate. It means withdrawn, lost feeling of love, loyalty, attachment, feeling useless, of no value, having no respect. It means born of a Jewish father and a heathen mother. And that means anybody who wasn't Jewish or Hebrew. God told them, do not take other wives from other nations. Do not give them to your sons or your daughters. That was the literal meaning of that. In Webster's, it means one of uncertain ancestry or a person of mixed origin. Now, in the Old Testament, that was literal. If you were born of a Hebrew and something else, anything else, you were considered illegitimate, a bastard, and you were not allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. It was literal. Now, in the New Testament, look at Hebrews 12:8, and we're going to see the New Testament reference to the word bastard. Let's start at verse 6, actually. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So in the Old Testament, it was a literal, physical separation from the congregation of the Lord. And being a bastard, illegitimate, of illegitimate origin, was a Hebrew father and a mother of another race or nation. But here we see that if you are not disciplined, that spirit can come into you. If you're not disciplined. So fathers, know that it is very important to discipline your children. Discipline equals love to children. When they are misbehaving, they're actually saying, please love me enough to correct me, to stop me from this rebellious behavior. That's really what they're saying. They're asking for you to love them enough to correct them. So if we have many literal bastards, but we also have a lot of spiritual bastards. It comes in, the spirit comes in with lack of discipline. I had that working on both sides of my family, and I didn't know it. Most of us really don't know 400 years back what went on in our ancestry. For myself, my dad, my maiden name was Davidson, but I wasn't really a Davidson. And I was probably in junior high or high school before I found that out. What happened was his mom died when he was 12, and he had a stepdad, but he actually thought the stepdaddy was his real daddy, but it wasn't. His real name was Cutts. And so when his dad left his mother, she remarried when he was about probably 18 months old, and his name was Meade. So they all took on the Meade name so that the children would all have the same name. Then when his mother died at 12, the dad took the three sisters that were born after him, and he went away with them and left my daddy an orphan. Didn't want anything to do with him. It wasn't his kid. That happens. All along, he thought that was his real dad, who was very affectionate with all the girls that were born after the man married his mother. And he always thought that there was something wrong with him because he didn't receive the same treatment, the same love. And that the bastard curse came in. And I'm not even sure that his mother wasn't already pregnant when they married. Those are not the kind of things that we pass down to our children. We don't talk about those things. And sometimes, well, most all the times, it's those secrets that hurt us. And so my dad's aunt and grandmother went to Florida to pick him up, and they raised him. Well, my aunt was married to a fine Christian man, and his name was Davidson. So when my dad was 18 years old, he went down to the courthouse and took the name Davidson. So that's how I became a Davidson. Now, I sure am glad that I didn't do my family tree thing, trace my roots, because I'd have been at the wrong tree. And then, on my mother's side, her mother was abandoned at birth. Her mother was abandoned at birth. So we don't know, you know, when we're looking at the family line, we can't go back very far. And so the bastard curse is alive and well in my family. Then I got married. to my husband, Mike Butod, and found out later. Well, I went to the family gathering, you know, when you get engaged, and went to their Christmas dinner, you know, and met Mike's grandmother and grandfather, and his mom and dad were there, and his dad had a stepdad, and we're taking pictures now, and the grandpa and Mike's daddy and Mike are all sitting on the couch together, and they look like carbon copies of each other. And I said, wow, to be a stepdad, you look exactly like him. Well, there was a hush all over the room. Because that was not known. Now, if I was a man and I looked just like my stepdaddy, I might have had some curiosities of, is he really my stepdad? But anyway, just that was something that was, again, not discussed. Those are the skeletons that we keep in the closet. We find out now I'm not even a Butod. So I think that's why actually in the Bible nobody has a last name. They make it. It's very simple. They just keep it, you know, him, the son of him, the son of him, and the son of him. So you never know what's in your bloodline. Okay, so those are some ways that the bastard curse can come into your family line. If you were adopted, very possible. This curse is working in your life or has been working in your life. If you were abandoned by any reason, you may have been abandoned literally, like my dad. Or you could have been abandoned emotionally. Your dad might have been right there in the house with you, but he wasn't emotionally connected. He was checked out. He was always watching TV or always reading the newspaper, too busy to interact and to spend time with the child. That's emotional abandonment. Even though they're there, still feels like abandonment. Or maybe a parent died and left and you feel abandoned. Or maybe there was a divorce and one or the other parent left the family. Maybe one went off to war. Like right now, we have many families who the man of the house, well, now some of the women of the house, and some of them the man and the woman, are at war. And the children are being affected by this absence. They can't understand that. Maybe you had a workaholic dad. He was always gone to work. Always gone to work. Or even when he was at home, he was doing some other kind of work and still absent. Or maybe he had a job that took him away. Sometimes, you know, there are traveling salesmen and pilots and doctors and lawyers, and there's all kinds of professions. Coaches. That's a big one. We had a coach in our family. He was never home. Mike's dad was a coach. Gone a lot. So these relationships are not always picturesque. They don't always meet up to the biblical standard that God would have a father relationship between family members. So all of that list that I read are ways that the bastard curse can be working in your life. Now, when I was a little girl, the way I discovered this, of course, came through a relative that was into deliverance, but he lived in Connecticut. I didn't see him. He met me the first time in my life when I was 6 months old. Of course, I have no memory of that. But then he came back and visited after my dad had died, stayed with my mom, and came over to my house, and when he walked in the door, he just began to pray in tongues. He walked the perimeter of the inside of my house praying in tongues and came back and said, can I pray for you? And I said, well, sure. You know, I was raised in the Methodist church, and I sat down and bowed my head and got ready for a prayer that I was accustomed to. And he began to bind the spirit of Jezebel and cast her out in the spirit of illegitimacy. And I was not in my prayerful posture anymore. I was quite shocked. I was like, what? I don't know much about Jezebel. All I know, she was bad and illegitimate. What are you talking about? I mean, I was the third kid in our family. My mother and daddy had been married 4 years before the first one was born. How could that be? I didn't understand it. It made no sense to me until he started telling me about it. I had made dinner for my aunt and uncle, and I said, we got to the table, and I said, now, Uncle Ernie, tell me about this bastard curse, this illegitimate thing. And he said, well, it comes from a pregnancy that is not wanted but maintained. And I was, you mean my mom didn't want me? And he said, no, baby, we know your mama wanted you. They tried 5 years to have you. Oh, well, that's what I thought. He said, the more he talked, the more the hair began to stand up on the back of my neck, because now I'm putting two and two together and realize that this came from my mother's mother, who was abandoned at birth. She was given away, so she evidently wasn't wanted. I know there may have been cases back in the old days where people had too many children and wouldn't want to give the baby away, but sometimes they did. We didn't really know her circumstances. All we know is that she left the baby on the doorstep of a doctor, is the story we heard. So, really don't know. But anyway, now I'm seeing how this has affected me. You know, tell me about it. Well, they're very insecure. Me. Jealous. Me. Fearful. Me. All these things that were on here. Inferior. Oh, my goodness. God has a sense of humor. I'll tell you that when I was in school, I was talking to another lady. I think she went home today, but she was talking about being a cheerleader in school and everything, and I was just thinking, well, she didn't have that spirit, because, man, you wouldn't dare. Even, you know, a person who's affected with this curse, they don't even try for things like that, because, no, that's not for you. That's for somebody else. Now, the way it affected me, I stayed in hiding all the time. I was so fearful. I was afraid of boys. I always had a crush on somebody, but if they started looking at me, that was the end of that. I'd go down a different hall. It was just, you know, the rejection. Because now, you know, I can't receive his affection. You know, I could have affection for somebody, but I couldn't receive anybody else's affection. And that stood in the way of relationships. Have you ever known anybody that you really wanted to get to know, but they would pull away from you? There was that you could not have an intimate relationship with them. And I just mean intimate by being a close friend. I don't mean, you know, sexual or anything. But anyway, also, it started making sense, because I always had some questions that I never understood. I had a reoccurring nightmare when I was a little girl. And the nightmare was that I would be at the grocery store with my mom and dad. And the boy would be packing the groceries and everything, and my mother would be getting the checkbook out. And she would say to me, well, we're almost done. You can go ahead and get in the car. So I would go outside. And the nightmare, what made it so scary, was every car in the parking lot was exactly like our car. And I didn't know which car to get into. But as I would start to move toward a car, I would go real slow waiting for them to come out, because I knew if I got in this car over here, they would get in this car and leave me. See, I had a fear of abandonment. It was just a fear. And I had that fear for many years. Even when I got to be 15 or 16 and my mom and dad would go somewhere and I was old enough to stay home, and they would say, well, you know, do you want to go with us or do you want to stay home? I went with them everywhere. Because I had a fear that they would be killed while they were out and I would be left. You know, now where does that come from? That is an unnatural fear unless you have abandonment issues or fear of being abandoned. Another nightmare that I would have is that somebody would come into our house, and it was just a dark figure. I never knew who it was. It wasn't anybody that I knew. And I was hiding from this person. And they would get very close. And, you know, you just would be frozen in fear. And then they would move away. And then they would come back. And there was just this tremendous fear that just plagued me all the time. And I had this fear that somebody was going to stab me. I don't know where that came from. But I would go to bed, and I would sleep on top of a pillow and put a pillow on top of me, thinking that, you know, if somebody stabbed me, well, the knife wouldn't go too deep. It's crazy. And then I had this dream. See, we all, when we have this, we have delusions, and we have this fantasy world that we build for ourselves, because you don't have to be afraid in your fantasy world. You can be whoever you want to be in your fantasy world. So I had my own dreams and goals. My goal, was to get married and have babies. That's all I ever wanted to do. And so when I got married because, see, that dream and that goal setting, that's where you were going to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's where happiness was. It wasn't something that you had all the time. It was a place to be attained. And that was my goal, where I would find that place of happiness, true happiness and well-being, was to get married first, then have babies. So I got married, and that was supposed to kind of be part of that happy thing. And it was, sort of, for a while. And then, you know, reality sets in. I felt like he just changed mothers. You know, I'm sorry, but men take a little while. Some. There are very few that really go into it fully mature, knowing what a husband is. And so I got disappointed in that place of happiness that was supposed to happen when you got married. Well, it must be babies then. So we started having babies. We planned the first one, and when he was 3 months old, I got pregnant with the second. And when he was a year old, I got pregnant with the third. So I came home with my bouncing baby girl, and I had, I came home with my second one, and the first one wasn't even walking yet. And I found out real quick that motherhood can be narrowed down to 2 four-letter words. Hard work. The shower is fun. Being pregnant is fun. Going to the hospital and having the baby was fun. Coming home with the baby, where is everybody? You're there with that baby 24 hours a day. It is nothing but feeding, changing, feeding, changing, rocking, feeding, changing, getting up in the middle of the night. I mean, it's like, nobody told me. And my bubble got burst. Then I came home with the third one, and I had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. Oh, wow. And I began to sink. My bubble really got burst. I found out real quick that wasn't the pot of gold. Spent a lot of time around the pot, washing diapers, and, you know, we tried the Pamper thing. It was too expensive. So my daddy bought me cloth diapers. And you got 3 in diapers. It's like, you know, one screaming. You drop the thing in the commode. You don't wash it out. Then you got to go to the bathroom, so you run in there and throw it over into the tub. It's a nightmare. But I was on the way to the pot of gold. Well, disappointment, disillusionment, reality, fatigue, all these things begin to set in, and I began to get depressed. And I started to cry, and I couldn't stop crying. I cried every single day. every single day. And so one day, I thought, I'm going to go to the psychiatrist. I believe I'm losing my mind. So I made an appointment, and my mother, I didn't know we had insurance that would pay for it, but got to the psychiatrist, and he wanted to know, why are you here? And I said, I used to have a big brother when I lived at home that used to agitate me to a rage. I thought he was my problem. I thought when I left home, there would be no more rage. But now I have a 3-year-old that can drive me to that same place. And I never could catch my brother, but I can catch him. And I'm afraid I'm going to hurt him. That was my fear, that I was going to hurt my child. So he began the process, you know, of talking about my life and my marriage. And he did help me with a lot of things, but he didn't have the cure. And when he realized the depth of my despair, because, you know, if you have this, you're a good actor. You cover all that stuff. You wear a mask. Nobody knew how sick I was. Nobody. Mike knew. My husband knew. But I went to the doctor one day, and I cried the entire time. And he wanted to know, how often do you cry like that? And I said, every single day. Every single day. I can remember my little Kyle when he was 2, and I was laying on the bed, and I'm not talking about it was like coming from my toenails, this sobbing. It was terrible. I was dying, really. I was dying. And I told the psychiatrist that one day. I said, I know why I cry. I am mourning my own death. Well, he dropped a little note. You know, that's kind of... He said, are you suicidal? I said, no. No, I don't want to die. I just wish I'd never been born. You know, Job said that. Let the day perish in which I was born. I know exactly how he felt. I was there. But I didn't really want to die. I just wanted to be happy. Is it even attainable? I didn't know. So one night, in my despair, I began to talk to the Lord. Because I was a Christian. I got saved 1 year after Mike and I got married. His bubble burst. Because that changed everything. The one that I was so crazy about, now was just crazy. He didn't know what to do with me after I got saved. And all my affections were for him. And then I got saved and all my affections were for Jesus. It was like I was having an affair. Really. Because it was a love interest. I mean, it's consuming. Huh, Jane? It's consuming. So anyway, that caused some problems because now, you know, I'm not so excited to do what we used to do. I want to go to church. I want to go to Bible studies. So that played a part, too, in the problems. And we began to, I mean, by the time I had an encounter with Jesus, our marriage had been absolutely dead. We were 2 people living in the same house. He didn't know what to do with me. And I felt sorry for it. I mean, I was so consumed in my own junk, I couldn't even see him. And that's how depression is. You're so self-absorbed, you can't even see anybody else. He was in pain, too. He didn't know how to help me. He didn't know what to do for me. I didn't know what to do for me. It was a terrible place for a while. And so, and that made me sad, too, because now this relationship that at one time I was so enthralled with is broken. I didn't know how to fix it. The marriage was over. I'm telling you, it was over. And he'll tell you the same thing. It was over. He was this close to taking the kids and leaving. That close. He's a very patient man. He's a kind man. He's a mercy man. Because I would have had his suitcase out on the porch and the door locked long before it got to where it got. If the roles had been reversed, I couldn't have lived with that. But he kept thinking that it would get better. And I didn't. I knew it wasn't going to get better. It was just getting worse. So one night I got serious with the Lord. I couldn't sleep. When you're so sick, when you're so depressed, it's a torment. That is a demon. And I used to think that depression was an illness. Depression is, I believe, a symptom of an identity crisis. Because you don't know who you are. That's how you just go down, 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 because you have no identity. You don't know who you are. And you don't feel loved by anybody. This thing alienates you. This curse will alienate you. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do, is to alienate you so he can kill you. It's a process. Slowly, slowly, you know, it goes from just being kind of disappointed, and then it goes to despair, and then it goes to hopelessness, and then it goes to the crying and the darkness and the death wishes, and some people do commit suicide. I don't know what really would have happened had Jesus not stepped in. I wouldn't be standing here probably. I know back when I was a young girl, I would have never, ever, if anybody would have told me 20 years ago that I would be standing in front of a group of people, I probably would have gone and locked myself in the closet. No way, no way. I took speech in school and didn't show up for any of the classes. And then when I got saved, I was so religious that if I went to a meeting and a woman got up behind the pulpit, I would pick up my stuff and walk out. Isn't that funny? I'm glad nobody left. But that's what God can do. That's what God can do. He's just amazing. He can change your life. Now, when I went to him that night, because I had gone to the psychiatrist for 7 months, and I really thought that he was going to be able to help me. That's what they do, right? This man didn't even have children. I mean, how could he relate to what I'm talking about? He was married, but... Anyway, I spent an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time in that man's office. And then one night, I couldn't sleep, like so many nights. I didn't want to go to sleep. You know why? Because in my fantasy, in my delusion, if I didn't go to bed, tomorrow would not come. Tomorrow wouldn't come. Time would just stop. Well, it didn't. The sun came up every day. The babies woke up every day. And it started over. The same thing I did yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before. And it just goes on and on and on. And it was doing something to me. I didn't want it. I even had a fantasy that I could just walk out the front door. Nobody would miss me. They'd probably be glad I was gone. And I could just go live somewhere else and be somebody else. Maybe I could find that pot of gold somewhere else with somebody else doing something else. But every day, it would come again. And so I couldn't sleep, and I was finding myself crying again in despair. And I had turned 30. I thought that was interesting. 30. 30 is a pivotal year. Jesus was 30. I think Richard said he was 30. It's a pivotal year. And so at 30 years old, I was going to make a list as to why I was depressed, even though I had no idea. But I began to write. First thing I put down was, I am 30 years old. Because everybody kept saying, oh, you know, everybody gets depressed when they turn 30. I hardly knew I had turned 30. It was, that's not it. I'm sure that's not it, but I'm going to put it down, Lord, just in case. Oh, and here's something important. When my bubble burst, when the disappointment set in, when all of these goals that I had set and the dream that I had had my whole life long turned out different than what I expected, I got angry. I got angry. Because you know why? I would reason with God. You know, because the Word says that if you obey your parents, it'll be good and you'll have long life on the earth. Now, I had a brother that gave my mom and daddy hell. Hell. All of us. And he got saved and everybody was happy. It was like the prodigal son. I was a good girl. I'm supposed to have a good life. Where is my good life? I got mad. I got upset with God. And that was part of it. That was part of the sliding down into the pit of despair. You just don't get mad at God. He's the one that can help you. He's the one that can turn it all around. Don't get mad at God. Don't walk away from God when the going gets tough. He's your help. And so now I was making my list, so I turned 30. Oh, okay, so, and I didn't realize what I was writing when I was writing all this. It just started coming to me. You know what it was? It was blatant honesty. I don't feel special anymore. Because I was special to my mom, I was special to my dad, special to my brothers. Before I destroyed our relationship, I was special to Mike, special to my grandmother. I had friends that I was special to, and I had alienated everybody with my anger, with my hostility, with my disposition. Who wants to be around somebody that is griping all the time or crying all the time? Nobody wants to be around that. I had nobody. And so that was one of the things I wrote down. And I wrote down that I was disappointed in marriage, motherhood, myself, life. Wrote that down. There were probably about 8 or 9 things on that list. And when I read the list, I began to cry. Because what I realized was that those were feelings that I had, that I knew a Christian should not have. So I pushed them way down. Oh, if they started to rise up, I'd have to push them down because you can't, no, that's, you can't think that. You can't feel that. And so all this stuff was pressed down. It was garbage. You know, we love Lake Hamilton. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. And back off the beaten path, there's a dump. It's out of sight. Nobody sees it. Nobody wants to see the dump. You don't put the dump in the front. You hide the dump. That's where you dump your junk. And I was walking. My husband and I were walking back there one day, and we were going this way, and the dump was kind of at an angle back this way. So I didn't see the dump when we walked past it. But on the way back, oh, my goodness. I didn't see that. Look at that. Well, I guess they have to put their stuff somewhere. And I thought, man, I took a look at that. This land is beautiful. It looks pretty. It's peaceful and all that. And yet there's a hidden away place. And that's how I saw myself. That's how I see us, our land, in here, down deep, where we keep those things that we don't want people to know about. We can't say them to people. They wouldn't like us. If I had let out all my junk, people would have been afraid of me. I was afraid of myself. I really was. I was afraid of myself. I didn't know what I would do in those moments of despair and anger and rage and darkness. It was just such a dark place. But that night, when I read all that stuff, it was purging to see it. I was embarrassed of it. I was ashamed of it. It made me sad that was all in me. But when I read it, I began to weep, and I wept and wept and wept, which wasn't anything new. I'd been crying for months. But something was happening. It was like getting a bath on the inside. You know, I was ashamed of my crying for a long time, and then even after I got saved, I cried a lot. And I would ask the Lord, why do I cry so much? Why do I cry so much? And He said, don't be ashamed of your tears. Think about it. They're salty. Salt has healing properties and cleansing properties. So when I would just have a good cry sometimes, or when I got happy, I would cry. When I got sad, I would cry. When I was moved by the Spirit, I would cry. I just cried a lot. But that night, I was really being purged. And I got down on my hands and knees, and I was bent over. My head was like on the floor. And I was asking the Lord to help me. I said, Lord, I can't live another day like this. I just cannot live another day like this. Please help me. And while I was praying, I felt the atmosphere change in the air. Something was happening. And I was going to look up to see if somebody had come in the room or something, but it wasn't like that. All of a sudden, it felt like I was it was too big to happen in my living room. So I don't know if it was a vision or if God took me there or what exactly happened. But whenever I came up, my face off of the floor, there was a big beam in front of me. And I just began to follow it up and up and up and up and up and up and up. And when I got to the top of that beam, I saw the face of Jesus. And He was looking down. He was on the cross because, you know, as a Methodist, it's not a crucifix, but there was a picture or something in the church of Jesus on the cross with the crown, and He's looking down. And anyway, that's what I saw. And He began to speak to me, but His lips weren't moving. It was just the look in His eyes. It's like He just enveloped me with His love. I had a list of my own of things that I had. When I told Him that I was grieving my own death, I said, I am grieving the death of the person I've always known myself to be, and I don't have the slightest idea who I am. That's what happened. That's what came to me. I don't even know who I am. And from that time on, I began to ask God, Lord, I need to know who I am, because that was a scary place. I wasn't even the same person that I had known before. I used to be happy and bubbly and fun and funny and carefree and thoughtful and helpful and, you know, all those things that I knew about myself. It was all gone, and I didn't have the slightest idea who I was, and I was terrified. And then I started asking Him to show me. Lord, I need to know who I am to You. I need to know who I am to You. Not to my mother and daddy, not to Mike, not to the kids, not to my brothers, not to my grandmother, not to aunts and uncles. No, I need to know who I am. And so the things that I had grown to not like, to hate about, I had self-hatred. Deep self-hatred. I hated that I had an opinion about everything. I hated that I talked so much. I hated that, I can't even remember them all now, thank You, Jesus. But I had a long list of things I hated about myself. And what Jesus said to me, another thing that I put on my list was, I am so lonely. I have a family, but I am so lonely. I can't reach Mike anymore. I've pushed him away. I've destroyed whatever we had. And so all of my friends, you know, when I was a little girl and I formed that dream was when I was a little girl and my mother and all of the ladies in the neighborhood would come down to the house after their husbands left for work, and they would drink coffee under the oak tree. And all the children played together. It was wonderful. And I can remember as a little bitty girl thinking, that's what I want when I grow up. Seeing that dream. By the time I had babies, everybody was working. daycares had sprung up everywhere. I was one of a thousand in a thousand stay-at-home moms at that time. Everybody had gone to work. Divorce was rampant. People were divorcing. And I loved Mike, but I didn't see how we were going to make it. Both my brothers had divorced. Broke my mother and daddy's heart. My mother and daddy were married forever till he died. And then here I am, you know, they wore out everything before I got to that point in life. They divorced and came back home. My daddy, when I got married, he said, "Little girl, anything happen, don't bring your suitcase here." I was like, "Well, that's a fine how-did-he-do. I guess they already wore out the welcome. What am I supposed to do?" But, I, you know, at that time, I was like, "Oh, Daddy, I'll never be back." I was wishing to be back. And probably if he hadn't told me that, I'd have packed my bags and gone home. But, you know, my daddy was a man of his word. And what he said, that was it. That was good training for me when I met God. Because my daddy was a good example. He was a man of his word. If he said it, you could trust it. And that was on the good side and the bad. He used to take me to the skating rink. "Little girl, if I drive by this skating rink, I better not find you sitting on those back bleachers with any boy." Well, he didn't know that would be the last thing I would want. But, you know, go to a slumber party. "Little girl, if I drive by here at 11 o'clock tonight, you better be at this house." So all the girls would go out and rap houses and do all kinds of nonsense, and I stayed with the moms. Or the grandmama. I was always with the older folks. I used to say I was born 63. I'm waiting to become my age. I was so scared of everything, I couldn't even have a good time. That demon kept me from having a good time. You know, when a style came out and all the girls at school would wear it, I couldn't wear it. That demon would say, "That's not for you. You can't wear that. That's for those people. You're not one of those. You know, you're the..." When I started dating, if a young man wanted to take me to a really nice restaurant, I'd break the date. Because I didn't have the clothes to wear. I was a hamburger and Coke girl. I found me a guy that was a hamburger and Coke guy. But you know, it's a cruel demon. He had it too. Remember? He's not even a beach dog. Now I understand that the familiar bastard curse spirit and my familiar bastard curse spirit, and we think it's fate. It is. And that's why I love deliverance. I wish I'd known about deliverance when I was carrying my babies. When I went to the delivery room, I would have delivered the baby and then delivered the baby. Now I do deliverance while they're in the tummy. Hey, let's don't wait. Truly, you can do deliverance on unborn babies. You can do deliverance on little tiny babies. You can do deliverance on three-year-olds. When my little grandbaby comes back from being with her dad, she's eating her cereal the morning she gets back. "Oh, Granny missed you so much. I bind every familiar spirit." And she's just eating her cereal like... But I mean, you can see the manifestations. You can see them. It's not rocket science. It's wonderful. One time I cast the spirit of rebellion out of that little thing. She's so precious. She bringing Granny some flowers. And this was like the night after God said, "You need to stop being polite to the devil." I was like, "What?" He said, "You're too polite to the devil." So we're outside on the porch, and she's bringing me flowers off this vine. It's like jasmine or something. Little teensy flowers, and there's billions of them. And she's picking them and bringing them to me. And I, "Oh, thank you. Oh, Granny, thank you so much." She'd bring me some more. This was fun. And then I said, "Okay, Granny, that's enough now. Grammy doesn't need any more flowers. She was something like, I'll be the decider of that. She's going back over there to get... She's looking at me. And I'm in the swing, and I pick up a book. Look, look, Granny's got a book. Come over here and let Grammy read. And God was like, what? You're being polite to the devil. And I was like, I sure am. I'm not going to distract the devil. I said, in the name of Jesus. And she's just like I said, attention. She stood up. I bind that spirit of rebellion. I command you to go in Jesus' name. You will not live in my grandbaby. And she goes, amen. So you don't have to be afraid to address the spirit. You're not going to scare the baby. Really and truly. Really and truly. You speak to the spirit. And it moved. It moved. She was not interested in the flowers anymore. But deliverance is wonderful. And we're going to do deliverance tonight for this spirit. I'm sorry that so many people have left that were newcomers here, because I really heard, you know, when they're telling you the things that they're suffering with, you really, you know, you can cast that spirit out, but if you have an understanding of what the spirit is and what it's doing and how it's affecting your life, when deliverance comes about, you're ready to let the thing go. Because see, as I was reading that list, I know what was happening out there. Like when my uncle was telling me, insecurity, jealousy, they're going, here I am. That's me. It's almost like calling your name. You could be sitting in a huge crowd and somebody call out your name, and all of a sudden you feel like the spotlight is there and you're totally exposed. So we're going to do some deliverance tonight about on the bastard curse. We're going to break the curse because it alienates you from God. If you find yourself having a hard time getting into the spiritual things of God, this is what's blocking it. If you feel like God doesn't love you, that's because this curse is working in your life. It creates an unloving spirit. And then because it hurts to not feel loved, then we start building up these walls of protection. And then all of a sudden, the wall becomes the block. Right? So we want to tear those things down tonight. Okay, I'm going to have you repeat a prayer for the breaking of the bastard curse. It's a generationally inherited curse, and many curses are generationally inherited. See, Jesus became the curse for us. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became the curse so that it could be broken in us. Many curses, not just one curse, the curse of death, the curse of sin, the curse of the bastard, many, many curses. He became all of them on our behalf so that we don't have to have them. But there is a belief that once you get saved, all of that is under the blood. And theoretically it is. But it's just like your inheritance. If you received an inheritance, you have to go get it. You have to receive it in order for it to be yours. I liken that kind of like having a fire extinguisher in your house, and you're frying something and you have a little grease fire pop up, and someone's saying, oh, your stove is on fire. Sorry, I got a fire extinguisher. Fire goes up the back of the wall. You need to do something. Okay. I've got a fire extinguisher. Now you better appropriate what Jesus has done for you in order to have it, to make it your own, and for it to be effective in your life. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, I'd like for you to repeat this prayer. Dear Lord, I believe in the Scriptures. being true and the whole of God's revealed will. All that His sacrifice provided. All that His high priesthood covers. I confess that my redemption is complete. And Satan's dominion over me is ended. I rebuke and renounce him, Satan, as a liar and a false god. I forsake all allegiance to him. I worship the Lord my God, and him only will I serve. I confess and repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me. Now, Lord, I confess, repent of, and ask forgiveness for the sins of my parents and my ancestors. I also ask that you would forgive me and cause my seed, my children, to forgive me if I have perpetuated this generational curse. I do this so the power of these curses can be broken over me and my family line in Jesus' name and by His shed blood. I now take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I go back to Adam and Eve on both my mother's side and father's side of my family. And I cut, sever, and loose myself, my seed, and all future seed from the bastard curse and all Christ-hating curses resulting from my own sins and the sins of my forefathers or ancestors. Okay. Whenever I call these spirits out, whether that particular thing has bothered you or not, just participate. Take a deep breath. Blow out. That's how they come out, on the breath. Sometimes they'll make you yawn. Your eyes will water. Your nose will run. Whatever. Don't worry about it. However they want to come out, we want them out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind all strong men, commanders of the legions, ruler demons, lesser demons, servant demons, underlings, all cohorts, all doorkeeper demons that have kept you and your family in bondage. All you foul spirits of the bastard curse, you are bound. All these that we listed, you are bound. And as I call your name or family name, you must leave in the name of Jesus. I take authority right now. I speak to the spirit of fornication. Fornication, you go, I bind you and break your power. All adultery, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Confusion, all confusion, I bind you and break your power. Confusion, God told me the root to homosexuality is confusion. Confusion, I bind you and command you to go. All masculine women and effeminate men, from confusion, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, I bind you and command you to go. I break your power. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. All abusers of themselves, whatever you've done to yourself to punish yourself, whether it's cutting or starving or overeating or drinking or drugs or whatever your fix is, I bind it now. I bind every bondage in the name of Jesus and command you to go. I break your power right now in Jesus' name. Unreasonable fear, I bind you and break your power. All fear spirits, I command the spirit of Megarmisabib, that is fear on every side, terror on every side. I bind you and break your power. Come out in Jesus' name. All fear spirits, phobias, go in the name of Jesus. Whatever your phobia is, I would run a mile down the beach to keep a bee from getting on me. It's ridiculous. I mean, roaches, rats, spider, whatever your fear is, I bind it right now and break its power off you in Jesus' name. All sensuality spirits, seducing spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Seducing spirits, go. Sensuality, go in the name of Jesus. All evil desires, I bind you and break your power. Go in Jesus' name. Evil desires, I break your power in Jesus' name. Inordinate affections. You know, sometimes when you can't share your love with a person, you'll get a little dog to sit in your lap and sleep with you and ride in the car with you. And you love the dog more than you love other people. That is an inordinate affection. I bind it in Jesus' name and command it to go. All inordinate affections. Inappropriate attire. Dressing for attention. Either provocatively or scary. In the name of Jesus, tight clothes, baggy clothes, pants falling down, every inappropriate attire, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to all filthy communication, whether it's cursing, telling dirty jokes, in the name of Jesus, profanity, cussing, blaspheming, in the name of Jesus, I bind all filthy communications, obscene language, obscene behavior, in the name of Jesus, all self-gratification, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Spirits of masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. Looking at pornography, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. Come out of their eyes in Jesus' name. All those porno spirits, I bind you and break your power. All spirits of fornication and promiscuity, go in the name of Jesus. Prostitution, pimping, all sexual demons, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Driving them, being driven towards sexual things, I bind you and break your power. Homosexuality, go in the name of Jesus. Lesbianism, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All spirits of bisexual, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Sodomy, go in the name of Jesus. Oral sex, go in the name of Jesus. All perversion, spirits of perversion, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All exposure, exposing yourself, exhibitionism, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All uncleanness, unclean spirits, not keeping your body clean, body odors, in the name of Jesus, not brushing your teeth, not washing your hair, all uncleanness, you go. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. All lust and passions, lust, spirits of lust, you go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power. Come out. The pride, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All fantasy lust, go in the name of Jesus. All fantasy lust and fantasy, just fantasy, dreaming, sit around daydreaming and just going off into a fantasy world, I bind you and break your power. All occult sex, I bind you and break your power. Occult sex, I break your power and command every spirit of occult sex to go in Jesus' name. Immorality, go in the name of Jesus. Lawlessness, you go in the name of Jesus. All rebellion, spirits of rebellion, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Every spirit of Antichrist, I bind you and break your power right now. Antichrist, you're bound. Come out in Jesus' name. All Antichrist spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Incest, I break the power of incest right now in Jesus' name. You go, all spirits of incest in the name of Jesus. Harlotry, go. Rape, go in the name of Jesus. Frigidity, impotence, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to all STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, right now. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All STDs. I speak healing to STDs in the name of Jesus. Drunkenness, all drunkenness, all addictions to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, food, gambling, go. All addictions, go. Whatever you run to, whatever your feel-good fix is, in the name of Jesus, I bind it and break its power in the name of Jesus. Shopping, obsessive-compulsive disorders, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All hate, distrust, hardness of heart, the unloving spirit, that spirit that keeps you from receiving love like you need to and giving love like you want to, I bind and break the power of that unloving spirit right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of murder, all spirits of suicide in the name of Jesus, death wishes, abortion, go in the name of Jesus. All death spirits, I bind you and command you to go. I break the curse of death off of your life right now in Jesus' name. I say live. I speak life into God's people in Jesus' name. I come against blocked understanding, arrested development. I bind you and break your power. I command you to leave the minds in Jesus' name. All learning disabilities, all hardness of hearing, a dull understanding, confusion, forgetfulness, go in the name of Jesus. Now, I bind the spirit of isolation and alienation. I bind you and command you to go. Isolating yourself, pushing people away. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. I come against all abandonment. Abandonment, fear of abandonment, in the name of Jesus. Running, fleeing, in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power. I come against the spirit of divorce, in the name of Jesus. Never trusting your mate. Suspicion of being suspicious of your mate, in the name of Jesus. Not believing that your mate loves you. It was years before I was really convinced that Mike loved me. Even though, I mean, we were married, I didn't think he loved me. And I don't care how many times you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. If this is in your life, you can't receive it. I break that power now of not being able to receive from God. I break it. I break the heavens of brass over you. I tear down the walls of separation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against rejection. All rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection of by God. Rejection of God. Rejection of yourself. Self-hatred. Rejection of the things of God. Rejection of the Holy Ghost. Rejection of the move of God. In Jesus' name, I bind you and break your power in the name of Jesus. A lot of people who have been wanting to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and they just can't seem to get it. Guess God just doesn't want me to have it. I bind that lie in the name of Jesus. I bind it and break your power in Jesus' name. I say receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus says receive ye the Holy Ghost. He blew on the disciples and they received the Holy Ghost. Just breathe in. Lord, release a baptism of your Holy Ghost right now for those that have been desiring it and seeking it. It's for you. I come against dullness of hearing, the deaf and dumb spirit, speech problems, learning disabilities, in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of immaturity, not wanting to grow up, not wanting to take care of your responsibilities. I bind it and break it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to bring everyone supernaturally, mentally, spiritually to the age that their chronological age right now in Jesus' name. I come against the vagabond spirit. That vagabond spirit of running here, running there, never being settled in the name of Jesus. And I come against lawlessness and rebellion. There are a lot of people that are locked up in prisons that are affected with this demon. That's why they're you know, they're not bad people. They're just, they do stupid things because of this arrested development and just lawlessness. Rebels. In the name of Jesus. And now I command every familiar spirit of every spirit that I've named, I release, I give leave to every familiar spirit that followed you down your bloodline, that's drawing the wrong kind of people to you. Of sexual, whatever familiar spirits are around you. If we could see in the spirit, this room would, there wouldn't be room for anybody else. It'd be full of all of the familiar spirits and angels and demons and in the spirit realm. So I give leave to all those familiar spirits. I give leave to the unholy angel, the unholy spirit that was assigned to you by Satan. I call down fire from heaven to burn up the altar that Satan wants to erect with your for your life. That he wants to put you on his altar. I destroy that altar in the name of Jesus with the fire of God. And I loose every one of you to receive the love of God right now in Jesus' name. Why don't y'all raise your hands? You know, if $100 bills started falling out of the sky, you wouldn't have trouble raising your hands to grab them. See yourself as a funnel because God is pouring out right now. I speak to the infirmities, be healed. Receive the love of God. Lord, pour out your love right now. Pour out your love, the love that changes, the love that heals, the love that delivers, the love that gives life in the name of Jesus. Receive his love. He's pouring it out right now. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Receive whatever you need from him. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Let's hear you say, I receive your love. Lord, I receive the spirit of adoption. Romans chapter 8 says that you have not received the bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now we are all adopted by God. There's no fatherless. Psalm 68:5 says, God in His holy habitation is a father to the fatherless. If you don't have a father, He is your father in His holy habitation. Receive it now in Jesus' name. And I command that curse of the bastard to be broken now off of everyone in this room in Jesus' name. I receive it, Lord. I receive your spirit of adoption. I receive your love. I now take my rightful place in the family of God. I enter in now to the congregation of the Lord. I am no longer a bastard, but a son, a daughter, a child of the living God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you now. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for becoming the curse so that we could be free of this curse of the bastard. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I just am excited to because I know that things have changed in the spirit realm in the lives of every one of us tonight. I thank you for the changes. They're going to see it. They're going to experience it. They're going to be able to be closer to you than they've ever been before in their lives. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.